Father, we come now, Lord, to your house once again to open your word. God, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we have to be here. Lord, as we look at this subject again today of forgiveness, I pray the Spirit of God will be our teacher. I pray he will lead us and guide us today. Lord, in all we say and all we do, Lord, bless your people today and encourage us today, Lord, with this subject as we look at another example from the Word of God, Lord, of how we can forgive as others have forgiven also. Father, bless your word now. Help those that are sick, those that are out because of surgery, recovery, and other things, and ones that lost loved ones. I pray, God, you be with Ms. Hassel and her family, especially today. And God, just have your will and way now in this service. May you be honored, may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Turn over today to the book of Acts. Acts chapter number 6 to begin with. As we look at another example of forgiveness today. In Acts chapter 6, we know the church was started back in the day of Pentecost. And the church, God was blessing. The apostles were praying, they were teaching, they were preaching. They were doing what God wanted them to do. And because of that, we saw the church was growing. I mean, it was growing in numbers tremendously. And as it grew in numbers tremendously, the apostles found themselves, because of the widows in the churches and the needs in the churches, they needed help. They needed help. So they called the believers together of these churches, and they asked them to pick 7 men out to be able to serve tables to help them so they could spend their time praying and teaching and preaching as they were called to do that. And so we find that they did that, and they selected 7 men. 7 men in Acts chapter 6, you find that in verse number 5 and 6. We find here where they selected these men out. And they see, first of all, right here, as they did that, Stephen, look at verse number 5 and 6. The Bible says, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, that is, to do this. And they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. And Philip, and they listed the rest of the 7 there all together. But we look today at Stephen. Stephen was chosen by the believers. And we see here he was chosen to be a disciple. He was chosen to serve tables, to help people and their ministers, their needs, whatever they may have here. And we see here that as we look at Stephen, not only was he chosen to serve tables, but we see also that he became a powerful preacher. Stephen did later on. We also see that he was the first martyr of the Christian church. The first martyr, that is the first witness, the first one who testified of the Christian church, Stephen was. He also was probably the first to realize that the gospel would overcome any kind of problem, any prejudice in the church. The gospel was the answer. And also he recognized that everybody needed the gospel. The Jew, the Gentile, the Greek, everybody needed to hear the gospel, and it was for everybody at this time. So we see here he was this way. We also see because of his witness, we'll look at a little later on, that he had a cruel death. He died cruelly. Now, in chapter 6, we find some things about Stephen. First of all, we find that in verse number 5, we see here that he was full of faith. The Bible says, and saying, please the whole multitude, they chose Stephen, a man full of faith, notice, and of the Holy Ghost. A man full of faith. Now, what does it mean to be full? It means to be full, right? It's full. He had faith. He had a lot of faith. There was no room for doubt. There was no room for fear in Stephen's heart because he was full of faith. Now, when we have a lot of faith, there are a lot of things that won't stop us because of our faith in God. And we see this was the man of Stephen. He was. Also, we see not only that, but he was full of the Holy Spirit within. God gave him, as we know, the face of an angel. The Bible talks about that a little later on here, we see. But he was full of the Holy Ghost, and he was full of faith. This was a man that had been selected to become a deacon, to become a worker, if you please, for the Lord. We also see in verse number 8. Verse number 8, the Bible says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did wonders and miracles among the people. He was also a man that was full of grace. He had a gift from God, proving itself in graciousness, because of the graciousness of God in his life. Also, we see that he was full of power. That is, God gave him the ability to do things. ability to do things. Stephen was a man of power and ability, a grace, faith, and full of the Holy Spirit. That's why, one of the reasons why he was chosen by the believers to become a worker for the Lord. We also see in chapter number 6, verse number 10, he was also a man full of wisdom. Look at verse number 10. The Bible says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke, speaking of Stephen. He was a very wise man. Back in verse number 3, we also see, he said, wherefore, brethren, look out among you, 7 men, of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So Stephen was a man of wisdom. He was a man of wisdom, and therefore God used him in this particular place today. So we're looking at Stephen today as an example of forgiveness as we look here today in chapter number 7. Now, in chapter 7, we see here that Stephen is speaking to the Sanhedrin. He's speaking to these people here, and he's talking, basically he's telling them the history of from Abraham to Jesus, of what's taking place in their ancestors' lives and what they did and how they lived, you see. And because of his speaking to them, they got upset with him. Literally, they got mad with him because he was telling them the truth, basically. And we see because of that, we see they got upset with him. And look at verse number 51, if you please, Acts chapter 7. Over in verse number 51, we see here the conclusion, more or less, of this sermon that he was preaching to them, the Sanhedrin. And we see here in verse number 51, he says, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and do you do always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you." In other words, you're just like your fathers. You're stiff-necked, you don't want to hear the Holy Spirit, and this is the kind of people that you are. He just tells them the way they are. Verse 52 says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them, which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom you have been now the betrayers and murderers." Well, he's telling them what they did, how they lived, how their people lived before this. Verse 53, "Who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it." You received the law, but you haven't kept it. He's telling them their history and the kind of people that they are. And so we see here, this is what takes place. And the Bible says, because of this, verse 54, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart." They were cut to the heart. You know, we used to say a lot about coming to church and our toes being stepped on, right? Well, this is what happened to them. Their toes were not only stepped on, they were mashed, so to speak. And because of that, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart, the Bible says, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. And gnashed on Stephen with their teeth. They were set with him. So let's look today, as we look at, again, another example of forgiveness. Look at Stephen and look at what he did, how God used him. God gave him this message to preach to these people and tell them exactly what they were. We have here in this passage, verse 54 through verse 60 here, we have two things. Number one, we have the strength of corruption. The strength of corruption, opposition. We see the persecutors of Stephen here and how they responded to him and the way he preached and what he did. And number two, we see the strength of God's grace in Stephen. The strength of God's grace in Stephen. So first of all, we're going to look at the strength of corruption. The strength of corruption in these persecutors of Stephen here. We see him. We have here the death of the first martyr. That is Stephen of the first church here. We also see here in these verses here, first of all, we're going to look at in verse 54 and 57 and 58, we're going to see fire and darkness in hell. We're going to see how people that are lost respond to the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. They just don't like it. They just don't like it. So we see in verse number 54, again we read, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth." They gnashed on him with their teeth. We see the corruption here of the persecutors of Stephen. When they heard those things, they were cut. They were sawn asunder, if you please. They were mad. They were angry. And they produced actions because of this, because of what Stephen was telling them. They were really upset. And the Bible says they gnashed upon him with their teeth. Can you imagine somebody biting you? Those of you that have raised children, no doubt you may have been bitten sometime by a child. But how many of us have been bitten by an adult? I mean, literally, they gnashed on him with their teeth. My goodness, I can't hardly understand that and believe that. But they were so upset with Stephen because of what he said. They were angry, they gnashed on him with their teeth. They wanted to destroy him. Enmity at the saints turn into the beast. When people get upset, they act like beasts, they act like animals, you see. And they did not want to see him. They did not want to hear him, the message that he had to proclaim to them. Now look also in verse number 57. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. They started hollering out loud because they didn't want to hear what he said, and they run upon him with one accord. They were so upset with Stephen here at this time, you see, they did that. They stopped their ears, and we see here, and they ran upon him with one accord. They did all they could to stop him, to irritate him, because of what he was saying, because he was saying. So we see here, as we look at the strength of the corruption, now look also at verse 58, and they cast him out of the city, and what? And they stoned him. They cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. They were so upset with him, and they wanted to stop him. You see, the witness against him were the leaders according to the law. Primarily, the leaders according to the law. These were the people that were so much against Stephen because they didn't like what he said, because they knew that he was telling them the truth. He was telling them the truth and the way they were living, that they should not be living like that. So we see here the strength of corruption in these men, these leaders' lives, because they knew that they were doing wrong. And God used Stephen to reveal these facts to them. And therefore, they were upset with Stephen. And they wanted to kill him, literally. They wanted to kill him. So we see here, there is power in corruption, is there not? We look in our world today, and we see because of the corruption, there's power. We see things today that we never thought that we would even have to consider voting on. I mean, you know, homosexuality and all this stuff going on in the world today. I mean, it's just common sense not to even have that kind of stuff. But corruption is strong, folks. Corruption will do things to destroy men, women, boys, and girls, and even a nation. And we see this in the life of Stephen here when he was trying to convey to these people their lives and the way their forefathers lived and all, that they were wrong. They didn't like it. There's power in corruption, even in the world today. We see it every day in our life. If you listen to any kind of news, you're going to see there's power in corruption out there. You know, it just dominates. The world today is trying to. So we see here that the strength of corruption in the persecutors here of Stephen, first of all. Now, next we see also the strength of Stephen's, God's grace in Stephen. If you will, please, look over in verse number 55. I'm thankful today that no matter what we face in this world as a believer, we have God's grace and God's power within us to help us. And we see this in Stephen here. Look at verse 55. But he, that is Stephen, after all this is going on with his crowd, witnesses to him, trying to destroy him, but he being full of the Holy Ghost. Folks, that's the key. To be full of the Holy Ghost. Without the Holy Spirit of God in us, in his fullness, we have no hope, we have no help in this world to face things we have to face. I'm thankful that the Spirit of God lives within us. I'm thankful that there is such a thing as an infilling of the Spirit of God. And we know the Spirit of God fills us when we're saved, but sometimes we get low and down and out, and we need to ask God for power and strength from the Holy Spirit of God to help us in our life. But notice, he being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven. He looked the right way, didn't he? When we're down and out, we're going through heartaches and trials and being persecuted and all these things, the best thing to do, folks, is do what Stephen did. What? Look up. Look up to Jesus. Look up to God. He's our source of strength and help. He's really the only one we need. It's God. And Stephen was a wise man, the Bible says. He had full of wisdom, and he knew what to do. And he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfast into heaven, and notice what he saw. The Bible says he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. My, what encouragement, no doubt, Stephen had because of what he did. He looked up into heaven, and he saw Jesus standing there in his glory. My, I tell you, when we begin to focus about Jesus and talk about Jesus and sing about Jesus, I'm going to tell you, we have strength in us that we can't imagine that comes from God. It's not us, but it comes from God to enable us to do what we need to do and maybe live the way we ought to live. So we see here, as his persecutors were full of Satan, we see here that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Now I know God is greater than Satan. I know the Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. And we see this here evident in the life of Stephen. As followers of Christ, we are for his sake killed all the day long, the Bible says. We're killed all the day long. We're going to go through things like that. We're sheep counted for the slaughter. This does not separate us, thank God, from the love that he has towards us. No matter what we face, he still loves us. No matter how much we've been persecuted, how much we've been made fun of, God still loves us. He always has, always will. And I'm glad today to know that. So we see here, first of all, that Christ manifests himself to Stephen in verse 55. Even though he was going through all this persecution from his persecutors here, all this stuff that he was dealing with, we see here that Christ manifests himself. When they were cut to the hearts and gnashed upon him, then he had a view of God's glory when he looked up into heaven. He looked above the crowd, folks. He looked above the persecutors, and he looked to the one that gave him strength. That's Jesus Christ. That's the way we have to face life. We have to look above this world, folks. Look into the world that we're looking forward to one day being, and looking at our Savior and realize that he is our source of strength. He's the one that's going to help us when we're going through whatever we're going through. It ain't about me, it's about the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, he being full of the Holy Ghost looked steadfast into heaven. He looked above the power of his persecutors. His persecutors had power, but there was power above those. And that was God in heaven. So he looked up to God in heaven above the powers of his persecutors, and he saw Jesus standing there. He lifted up his soul with his eyes to God, calling upon God. Calling upon God, he knew he needed help. It's good sometimes for us saints, especially dying saints, to look up steadfastly to heaven. Even sometimes we are living saints, we need to look up steadfastly to heaven and call upon God. Look away from this world that we're living in and the things that we have to face in this world and look to the one who will help us and lead us through our life. I'm glad today to know that God's strength, God's grace in us is the same for us that it was in Stephen. God's grace hasn't diminished. God's love hasn't diminished. His power hasn't diminished today, even though he's been forever. God is the same God. We serve the same God that Stephen served, folks. He's still the same God today, and he'll help us in every situation that we have to face in our life. Forgiveness. We'll see here later on what's taking place here. But notice here, as God's grace was upon Stephen, we see he saw the glory of God. Verse 55 says, being full of the Holy Ghost and looked steadfast into heaven, he saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He saw the glory of God here. Now notice the question is, we find in Hebrews chapter 1 verse 13 that Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. Doesn't he? And you know what the Bible says? He's seated. But when Stephen looked up to heaven, he saw Jesus. Was he seated? No, he was standing. Now why? Why was Jesus standing when Stephen looked up to heaven and saw him there instead of being seated? That's a good question, isn't it? Why was he standing? Why was he standing here instead of being seated? We see he sees Christ is for him, no matter who is against him. When Stephen saw Jesus, he looked up. The world is against me, but Jesus is for me. Because I see him. I see him in heaven. He's standing up. He's standing up, you see. He's standing up, you see. The master, it might be the master's way of trying to honor this one that's about to come to be with him in heaven. He's trying to honor him by standing up. Welcome. You're welcome. You know, the Bible tells us precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his children. Psalmist says that. Well, Jesus knew that Stephen was about to die. No doubt he stood up, say, welcome home. Come on home. Come on home. Come on home. You know, you're welcome, you see. why, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through here. So we see here that he saw the glory of God. He saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. We see as he looked up in heaven in the midst of his persecutors, Stephen was focused on Jesus. He was focused on Jesus, you see. We see also, he told those about him what he saw. Verse 56 says, and he said, behold, I see heaven open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Now, wonder what those persecutors or people around him thought about that when he said that. He told them about what he saw. Behold, I see heaven open. I see heaven open, he says, and also the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Right hand of God. What a witness Stephen is, even in his death, about the Lord Jesus Christ to people around him there. These persecutors and these people that were so disturbed about him and the life he was living and what he was trying to do in his life. So we see here that this is what happened. Christ manifests himself to Stephen during his dying time, more or less, there, as they were stoning him to death, as they were beating upon him and trying to kill him, and did kill him literally later on, we see. But we see now, notice Stephen's address here to Jesus Christ. Notice his address to Jesus Christ. We see in verse number 59. Verse 59, the Bible says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Stephen's address to Jesus was, Lord, receive my spirit. Take me out of here. Take me out of here. They stoned Stephen while he was calling upon Jesus. Calling upon Jesus. My, what a testimony of dying for Jesus. They stoned him while he was calling upon Jesus and being a witness to people that were stoning him. And they saw, no doubt, in Stephen how much he loved God, how much he loved Jesus because of his reaction here. You see, they stoned him. Taking his leave of this world, he calls upon God. He called upon God in the midst of persecutors and all this animosity and all this stuff that was going on at this time. He called upon God while he was dying. Dying, Stephen saw Jesus. Saw Jesus. You probably heard stories of people that were literally very sick and dying. And they may say, you know, they go to sleep, wake up, whatever, I saw Jesus and all that. Well, I'm not all for this kind of stuff. But I believe here with all my heart, according to the Word of God, that Stephen saw Jesus while he was dying here. He saw him. He literally saw heaven open and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father waiting for his entrance into heaven because of what he was going through. Folks, we need to realize this. As children of God, no matter what we face in this world, our Savior longs and waits for us to be with him. He wants his children to come home. And there's a set time when we're going to go home. But he knows that time. We don't know that time. And I'm glad today to know that he's in control of everything here. Dying Stephen saw Jesus. We see here that God granted Stephen during his last hour. He granted Stephen during his last hour to come and gaze not at this world, but look into heaven and see the place that he's going to go to. The place he's going to go to. There's a better place in this world, Stephen, and you're going to come. You're going to be there. You're going to be there very soon. And we see here, because of this, we see the strength of God's grace in Stephen. How God enabled him to do what he did at this last time. Now, we notice here in verse 59, a prayer Stephen prayed for himself. He said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. You know, he's probably got to the place. You've seen loved ones, and I have too. There's no better. There's no hope. Doctors have done all they can do. There's nothing that can be done. And you have prayed, and I have prayed too. Lord, if my loved ones aren't going to be any better, please take them home. Take them home. You know? Well, Stephen here is at that point. He's been persecuted. He's been beaten. He's been stoned. He's going through all this kind of stuff. He looked up into heaven and saw Jesus standing there waiting for him to come. And now Stephen has got to the point where he's saying, I want to go home. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to leave this world behind and go where my Savior is, because he's looking down even from heaven right now and waiting for me to get there. And he says this prayer, Lord, receive my spirit. Receive my spirit. Longing to wait for that day. Our greatest concern in this life, living and dying, should be about souls, folks. Souls of men, women, boys, and girls. When a person leaves this world not being saved, they go into an awful place. An awful place. And we need to be concerned about souls of men, women, boys, and girls more than we are. We should. Because it's not going to be a pleasant thing. We see here, Christ receiving our spirit at death is the greatest thing that we can comfort him. To be absent from the body is to be present with who? The Lord. The Lord. Stephen saw that. Stephen experienced that. Even what all he went through with the animosity, all the things that were done to him, we see as he looked up into heaven, he was waiting for that thing. So we see a prayer he prayed for himself. We also see something else about Stephen in verse number 60. We see a prayer he prayed for his persecutors. A prayer he prayed for his persecutors. I said, you know, it's good to know that you can be forgiven. But how about being a forgiver? How about being a forgiver? Now notice what Stephen did. All these things happened to him here. All these persecutors and all things they did to him. We notice what he prayed. He prayed for his persecutors. Look at verse number 60. And Stephen, he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice. Stephen, in the midst of all his persecutors, in the midst of all he's gone through, he kneels down on his knees and he cries out, the Bible says, with a loud voice, Lord, notice what he says, lay not this sin to what? To their charge. Lay not this sin to their charge. All they've done against me, Lord, don't charge them with it. Forgive them, Lord. Forgive them. Forgive them, Lord. He says, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. We see here he prayed for his persecutors. He knelt down and cried with a loud voice, lay not this sin to their charge. That's forgiveness, folks. That's forgiveness. Stephen wanted these people that were persecutors to him to be forgiven. He wanted them to be forgiven. He wanted them to be forgiven. We see last week, we talked about Jesus on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This week we see Stephen here, as he's being stoned to death, he says, lay not this sin to their charge. He's asking God to forgive them also. We see forgiveness. Example after example after example. He follows the example of our dying master, Stephen does. Jesus. Because Jesus forgave his persecutors, Stephen's doing the same thing. He's doing the same thing here. See, he's setting an example to follow sufferers. He loved them. He loved them in spite of the fact they didn't like him. He loved them anyway. You know, the only way we can do that, folks, is by the grace of God in us, to love people that don't like us. Only by the grace of God and the love of God that is within us, you see here. So we see, while praying for his persecutors, the Bible said he fell asleep. He fell asleep. He accomplished what he wanted to accomplish, folks. He was a witness for Christ when he lived. Was he not? He was. Stephen was. And now he's a witness for Christ in dying. And he asked God to forgive, lay down that sin to their charge, the things they did. And when he did that, no doubt he had peace in his heart. And he was ready to go. He was ready to go. Because now he thought he could not die in peace until he had done this. I'll never have peace until I ask God to forgive those people that do these things against me. And when he did that, the Bible says, and when he had said this, he fell asleep. He fell asleep. He died. He went off to glory to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see here, Stephen witnessed first by his life. What a testimony Stephen was, what a witness he was during his life while he lived here. After they had called him and had chosen him as a server, we find he was very busy. He was the greatest preacher, well, a good preacher in all this, and he did well. But also we see not only his life, but also witnessed by his death when he was dying. We've heard about people that got real sick, could not get out and do many things. They were literally dying. And we've heard testimony of many people that realized that during their time of dying, it might have been 6 months or a year, people come around them. They witnessed more to those people then about dying than they ever had. You know why? Because it was in their mind. We don't think much about dying until we get up in age, we get sick, and all these things. Therefore, we don't think much about witnessing to people, do we? But you know, isn't it strange how whenever we're to that point of dying, people will listen to us seemingly more than do while we're all living, just going about doing our daily things? People respond more to you. You know why? Because they see reality. We see reality. That is, it's appointed to man once to die. We're going to die. And we don't know when it's going to happen, but we need to be prepared. We need to be prepared. And I trust today that everyone in here is prepared to die. As you prepare to die, you prepare to live. You know? And so we see here, Stephen was a great example of forgiveness. A great example for forgiveness. He forgave, and he asked God to forgive those and lay not the sins in their charge of all they had done against him while he was living and while he was dying. He asked God to forgive them. Lay not it to their charge, you see. To be forgiven is easier than to forgive. But if we have been forgiven, we are to be forgivers. We are to be forgivers because Jesus has forgiven us, you see. The strength of corruption by the persecutors is great. It's bad. It's humongous. We also see the strength of God's grace, and Stephen was wonderful too. God enabled Stephen to do exactly what he wanted him to do, to live the life he wanted him to live and to die the life that he wanted him to die, how he wanted him to die. And may God help us today as we go through life. It's not going to be long. We're all going to be finished and on the other side, folks. I mean, the way time is going, but may God give us the grace to finish the course that he started us in and finish it with dying faith, looking up to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, to sustain us no matter what we have to face in persecution, opposition, whatever it is in this life. God will enable us, just like he did Stephen, to look to heaven and look to God for our help and to forgive. I'm so glad today we have another example here of forgiveness. Stephen forgave his persecutors. He forgave those that were against him and all they did for him, all they did against him. Listen, it can be done only by God's grace and by God's help. And looking to Jesus, looking up to Jesus. Aren't you glad that we have a source of strength? We have a source of power that the world knows nothing about to enable us in this life to be what we ought to be? Sometimes we don't ask for it. Sometimes we don't seek it and pray for it and all that. But it's available, folks. It's available to us always. And my prayer is for myself and for you too that we will, like Stephen did, look up to Jesus. Look up to Jesus. You know, the song we used to sing sometimes, I see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Stephen said that. He said that. And you know, he's still there. He hasn't left, has he? He's still the place he went. When he actually died and went back to heaven, he's seated on the right hand of God. He's there interceding for you and I. And all we got to do is call out upon him. When we're in persecution, we're in animosity, anything we're facing, we can call upon him and he will help us. Yes, I thank God for the strength. This name may be strength in corruption, but there's greater strength, folks, in God's grace. In God's grace for us to live the way we ought to live. Father, thank you today for Stephen. Thank you for his life. Thank you, Lord, for the grace that you supplied him with, even in dying moments, Lord, as he was being stoned to death by his persecutors and those literally that hated him. I'm thankful, Lord, that you enabled him to look up to you and to pray that prayer. Lay not their sin to their charge. My, what a heart of love. What a heart of compassion to those that had done him wrong. But yet, God, we see that he loved them. He cared for them. He wanted them to be saved also and be in heaven one day. Father, help us, Lord, as we go forth from this day today, from this place, Lord, to look at other examples in the Word of God as we'll continue next week. And look at this thing of forgiveness and how important it is, not only to be forgiven, but also to forgive. Bless now the service we're about to go into. Have your will and way. May you be honored. May somebody be saved. And may your children be edified today. Bless our preacher. In Jesus' name, amen.